I love the smell of commerce in the morning.
Why are we at the mall?
Listen, we just spent an entire season hanging out at Quick Stop on the Jay and Silent Bob Minute, and I thought we could use some new scenery.
But why the mall?
It has everything we need. A cookie stand, a Magic Eye poster, and Stan Lee.
It would be better if Batman was here.
Ben Affleck is here.
I guess that's close enough.
If you've enjoyed this witty banter, please join us this season on Jay and Silent Bob Minute as we discuss Kevin Smith's Mallrats.
Snoochie Boochies.
We will figure out why this original opening exists, why Shannon Doherty keeps changing outfits, and why that kid is back on the escalator again.
So join us for all the chocolate-covered pretzels you can eat.
On Jay and Silent Bob Minute on Dueling Genre.
Welcome to the Jay and Silent Bob Minute, where we are covering the movie Chasing Amy, 1 minute at a time. Today we are covering minute 53, quite possibly the greatest queer minute ever. I'm Jeff Ferry.
And I'm Chris Therkach.
And I'm Michael Cotton from the Sun Ranto Show.
And settle down, everybody. It's another minute in the car. Good news, it's just Ben Affleck talking. So, enjoy. This minute starts with a horrified Alyssa and ends with Holden lying to himself. All right, so we're going to have to break this minute down second by second of every mistake that Holden makes.
Line and, by line.
And he's going to pretty much make them all.
Yeah, he's horrible in this. And it's funny, you don't realize when you're watching the whole movie, like 3 minutes really kind of cruises by. You do start to feel uncomfortable. But when you have to do it this way, holy crap. Like it,
oh, yeah, it's every time they cut back to Alyssa again, it just gets like a little worse and a little worse. It doesn't totally turn, I think, until next minute where, but he cannot read the room. He cannot understand, like, this is not going well. He needed to pull the ripcord on this shit a long time ago.
Yeah.
Maybe when he saw her facial expression.
Sure.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I think he could have maybe escaped with his dignity a little bit if he would have just said, if he said, I love you, blah, 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 and started all that and then realized that this was all going horrible. And he immediately stopped and went, I'm so sorry. I should have never said that. Blah, 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 and just cut it off right then.
Or started laughing. Ha ha, it's a joke. You get it?
Yeah,
I said queer, remember?
It's funny. LOL, let's go home. What's that, the old Jim Norton thing?
Yeah, LOL.
You can say anything in text as long as you say LOL after it. And he's like, did you just say you wanted to have a threesome with my sister? Yeah, but I said LOL at the end of it.
It's all better.
It's okay. It's just a joke. I mean, unless you're into it. He can't look in her eyes without feeling that thing they read about in trashy romance novels.
You skipped the fact that he said he can't sit next to her without wanting to hold her.
Oh, yeah. Just don't ever say that to anybody.
Ugh.
I wouldn't say that. Like I'm saying, the stuff he says, I wouldn't even say to my wife.
If you can't sit next to somebody without touching them, that is a serious social problem that you have.
Yes.
Seek help.
Like, I wouldn't want that if... Even people are married and they're touching each other all the time. Like, get the fuck off of each other. I mean, then you're not married. You're codependent because you can't not have your hands on the other person.
You're a Siamese twin.
Especially when I was younger, when like relationships are a little, you know, you're jumping from this one to that one. When I saw people all over each other, I'm like, one of these people has a real jealousy problem. Because that's, especially guys.
For everybody else.
Yeah, like they see you got your hands all over. Like, it's like Animal Kingdom stuff of like, this is mine. Nobody else can touch this. This is mine. It's like, settle down.
And again, 14 years old, that's what we're talking about.
True.
This dude is twice that.
Yeah, this doesn't it doesn't fit an adult. It really doesn't.
Well, I think you're led to believe in this, and it's hard. He's just a little too old for it. He could even buy it if he was a little lower in the 20s. Maybe. But you're led to believe that he's just, I guess that he's led such a sheltered life. But then that's so hard to believe from where he's from. It's not like he moved from friggin' Iowa.
Right. That's exactly what I was thinking. If he was a farm boy from Iowa and had never met, I don't know, anybody.
A human. Right.
But
that
I mean,
would make more sense.
He lives in Red Bank, which, I've been to Red Bank. It ain't exactly the metropolis. And yes, it is pasty white up there. So like, if he had no like black friends, that would actually make more sense. But he goes into the city all the time, we're led to believe. Or at least enough where he has friends in the city.
Right.
You can't just casually go to New York and not be... Listen, you only got to go to New York for 15 minutes and it'll open your world up a whole lot. Yes. That can be... Talk about culture shock. Like, if you're from somewhere that's not... Pretty much not New York. Even if you go through the touristy areas of just, like, strolling through, like, Times Square. If you're not used to being in big cities, it's going to be quite a change for you.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you'll be declaring your love to somebody.
No, and then, of course, he uses the horrific line, I don't want to queer our friendship. How do you use that word without it being intended to be a pun?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we've all done it. At some point, you say something that's a pun, and you didn't mean it to be, and you pray to God it's not a situation like this.
I was delivering mail one time, and I walked up to a customer, and she had an eye patch on, and she said, "I'm missing a piece of mail." And I said, "All right, I'll keep an eye out for it." And that is exactly what that reminded me of when she said queer our, when he said queer
it's,
our friendship.
It's the Wayne's World 2. We're going to cross all the T's and dot all the lowercase J's.
And the difference there is that you used a very common, you know, a common phrase. Lots of people use that. I'm sure that person's heard it. Never even crossed their mind that you were talking about their missing eye. Whereas if you use the word queer, isn't we're going to queer our friendship?
It's an odd, it's an odd turn of phrase. You know which word would have actually? I don't know. You probably wouldn't have worked in context here. But what word describing homosexual people would have been way more easier to drop in a conversation? Gay. People did say that all the time. It wouldn't work here, but like that would have been more likely to get dropped into a regular conversation where people are like, "Oh, this is so gay."
Yeah.
He even said, what's his name? Banky says it in this movie.
Right. And back in the 90s, that was an acceptable sort of term to use for, again, teenagers.
Yeah. I got to be honest. I still hear it occasionally, even from people of our age. And it's not because they're homophobic or anything, it's a relic of when they were 20.
Right.
And even when they say it, you see them do that, like, oops, I'm not supposed to say that anymore.
Yeah, I mean happy. I mean it in the 1920s way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at this point, I don't know, you know, hijack this a little bit here. So I was watching, I was going through and just watching Alyssa's face because she has no lines. She can only just face act through this whole thing. And if you go kind of second by second through this, you get sort of a completely different, like, take on what she's thinking. Like second 19, like, she's totally like, did he just say queer? You know? And then 20 and 21, you know, that confused face, like, it softens a little bit. She's like, oh, well, he did say queer, but he didn't mean it like a pun. And then from 22 to 25, she's like, wait a second. Like, her face changes again. She's like, wait, he didn't randomly say that. He did make queer. A pun. Yeah. And then if you just jump directly over what Holden says and you go to 41 and 42, she's back to, I can't believe he said that.
I think by the time it hits 41 and 42, this conversation is officially over for her.
She's like, I'm sad. And then, and then 43 and 44, she's like, hold on. That was bullshit. And by 45, she is like, I am going to kill this dude.
She's furious by 45.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's one of those, like, you know what your wife or girlfriend looks like. If you get that face turned at you, you're like, uh-oh.
You know what? I'm going to run to the store right now.
Yeah. Hey, look, whatever argument you're having, you got to be damn sure whatever your argument is having is worth having at this point. Otherwise, you need to make you need to retreat. You need to head to the hills right here, you know. Yeah, a couple shots over your shoulder as you run.
Right. And like we said last minute, if our wives aren't talking for this long and then they punctuate it with that look, the best thing you could do is just stop talking altogether, say I'm sorry, and then, I don't know, don't look at her.
You mean
you are treading in some dangerous waters. I don't know. Just leave. Go outside and clean something that you should have picked up a long time ago. Go cut the grass.
You mean that look isn't the right time to say, like, crazy bitch or something?
And listen.
You have two choices. One is go away. The other is double down.
We've all been there before where you're like, you're on that line where, like, this is the moment to make a strategic retreat. Or you get out the two sets of keys and you unlock and you're like, we're launching the missiles. I feel like at least once in a while you got to do that. Just, you know, you clean out all the bad stuff. So once in a while you got to have that huge fight. It's even more fun if it's over something really stupid. Like if the entire fight breaks out over like what to get for dinner.
We've had that every night for the last fucking 20 years though.
Yeah, or if it's that time, that one time that you really feel, no, I've got this one. I am the right one in this.
I'm going to win this one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then that's when you go, you're like, I'm going all in. Holden should not be doing that.
Yeah. No. The problem is he's all in. If you want to make it the poker equivalent, he's all in. Not even after they've dropped the first three cards. He's all in before they've dealt the hand. He's like, I'm pushing all my chips in. We're like, sir, we have not dealt the hand yet. I'm all in. I'm gonna win. I'm all in.
Yeah. I'm betting that I'm getting good cards.
Yeah. And to even make it more like he's playing against 10 people and he's gotta beat them all.
And he's playing the wrong game.
Yeah, right. And he's not playing any 10 people. He's playing the 10 people from Rounders.
Yeah, he's like, I gotta make 21 here, right?
Yeah, he's like, he's playing against Teddy KGB.
So he's playing chess and he's a Potzer.
He's a Potzer. Yeah. Nice callback to Potzer, by the way.
It still bothers me. That's why I call back to it.
See, and about halfway through this minute, he tells an absolute lie. He says, if this means we can't hang out anymore, I'll accept that. No, you won't.
Yeah, bullshit. He'll be chasing her around.
No man ever talking to a woman who talked about, oh, if you just leave me, I'll just accept it. No, you won't. Nobody ever just accepts somebody just like cutting themselves out of their life.
Yeah, and if he really did accept it, that would have been the end of his speech.
Yeah.
Right. I think he'd get suicidal at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you really accepted it, like, yeah, if you really accept it after what happens next week, after you chased her down and she yelled at you, you would have said, you're absolutely right, I'm sorry, get in the car, I will drive you home,
right?
You don't ever have to talk to me again. And that would have been it. But instead, his justifications will continue next week, in case you were wondering. Yes, he's not gonna let this go. And the problem is, I think next week is the week that bothers people 20 years down the road,
right?
Where we start veering from, oh, this is just a guy who's an idiot, and you start rolling into like male fantasy world.
Like, oh, wow, it could work.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Listen.
No, it will never work.
It won't ever work. The problem is, even in this movie, it doesn't work because you're led to believe that she's a lesbian and he kind of turns her. And then you only find out later that that's not true. So even the information he has is wrong.
Well, she's a liar, too. That's a problem.
This whole movie is full of liars. Everybody in this movie is playing a game in which they are somebody else that they're not.
Yeah.
Except for maybe Holden. He's kind of two-dimensional. Like, he's just kind of dumb.
And we've said everybody in this is a percentage responsible for what happens.
Right. There's not a good person in this
movie. He's responsible for it for acting like a child. She's responsible for it lesser so because she's hiding some of her past. Even after they get together, she keeps doing it. Hooper's responsible for not telling him right at the beginning that she's gay, which would have taken some of the stuff off of him.
Oh, yeah.
And then
like
Banky's responsible for, Banky's responsible for being just an asshole of a friend.
I think Hooper just likes messing with straight folk. That's what I think he's doing.
He's just trying to mess with straight people. I'm going to ruin this straight guy's life.
And like you were saying, when the change comes and she comes back to that, like, that's where I have to assume the lesbian community is just like bullshit, throwing popcorn at the screen, walking out.
Yeah, but I will argue
where the lesbian community is against her.
Yeah,
in this movie,
I still will argue up and down that she is. Now I would have to get somebody who's in the community, obviously slightly more so than the three of us, but she, in the strictest definition, at this point in her life, is not a lesbian, I guess, or hasn't been all along. I don't know how that works. Like, if you're currently on Dating Girls, are you now a lesbian? Because she obviously has been with men before.
Oh, you mean if you switch back and forth, it's like, now I'm a lesbian, now I'm not? I don't know. Do you get the switch?
I don't think at this point in her life, maybe she hasn't quite landed where she wants to. Maybe she's not hit her final landing spot, or maybe she's going to be bisexual her whole life. I don't know, nor do I really care.
Well, and I think that's kind of a sign of the times, right?
Yeah.
Like, now people will literally just say, no, I'm bi. I am bi. I like both, and it's fine, and that is what I am. Back then, even with as progressive as this movie might have been trying to be, they weren't that progressive. Like, nobody was going to be bi in this movie.
Oh, no, not 1997. I doubt in any movie, unless the movie was about that.
Right.
That was one of the things that, as much as this movie is not progressive and has plenty of problems, it also has characters in it. Like, it has Hooper's hilarious because he's a gay character, but he's just like a side character. He's not the villain. not the main character.
Right.
But like, just to have a character like that in a movie at all.
He's the best character.
Yeah, he's the only one that's got, like, for the most part, has his shit together.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and he's like, the one that when he does those weird things, because he's that side character, it is just taken for fun. Like, if we had to watch him interact with people for an hour and a half, and he just kept switching back and forth from militant black man to effeminate gay man, like, I think we might turn on him a bit as well.
Well, but the difference is, I think he knows who he is. Where, like, I don't think anybody else in this movie does.
And that's sad. Because he's like, he also knows that he has to play the game where he's the militant black man.
Yeah. And he's not happy about it, that he has to do that.
No, he really isn't.
But he knows that he has to. Oh my God, I paused it at 45 seconds. I don't like Joe Gillar and Adams looking at me like that.
I accidentally skipped to the next minute, and it didn't make a difference.
Oh yeah, because...
No, I actually... It almost feels like she just did a number of turns, like while they were filming her.
Like just give more turn
and do it, and then he just cut him into the movie however he felt.
Now crinkle your eyebrows. Now look mad. Now look happy.
Let me get to the next line that Ben Affleck says that irritates me. Then he says, "Which, judging by your face, will be the inevitable shoot down." So now it's her fault,
right?
That he's getting shot down. Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe this lesbian who is not interested in men wasn't expecting a declaration of love from you right now.
Yeah, and if it truly is inevitable, then he's admitting that he's doing it for himself.
Yeah.
He's ruining her entire day right now.
Right.
So that he can just make this grand proclamation that's not going to do anything.
Yeah, so
just thought of something from last week, though. Like, maybe he's not so bad after she hands him a gift and says this is to remember us by.
Yes, but she doesn't mean it that way, and he knows that.
Yeah, but does he know that?
Then he's an idiot.
I almost felt like she was leaving. She was like, here's a painting. I'm moving to California. Like, it seemed like...
This looks like New Jersey. Take this painting and remember us. Maybe you're right. I am seriously starting to not like her. I don't like him. I'm not going to like her. I don't know.
I don't like any of them.
I can't wait till Dogma.
What are you talking about? Things turn around in this movie too.
They will. I mean, like I said, I'm watching it like 5 minutes at a time still.
Oh, I don't know that they do. I watched it today and I don't know that it turns around.
Well, I'm not saying that it gets better. I'm just saying that it gets crazy enough to make minute by minute podcasting better.
Yeah. Especially when you're doing it minute by minute, which absolutely changes the entire, like, the movie is not the same movie when you do it this way. It is.
I'll say this, Chris. This is the fourth movie we've done this way. Which movies do you think got hurt or got improved by doing it minute by minute? Mallrats, we did the extended cut, so that hurt Mallrats.
It hurt Mallrats. Clerks, I think Clerks was improved.
I think Burbs was, too.
Burbs was definitely improved. There was a lot of stuff in Clerks that I never really noticed until we did Clerks minute by minute. I enjoy Clerks more now, and I thought I was never going to be able to watch it again when we were done.
Yeah, I could see that, because when you're doing it minute by minute, in that movie where nothing is happening, but there's so much stuff in that scene, like, there's just crap to look at all
right,
the time.
Right, right. There was, that was a lot of fun to do.
They're not sitting in a freaking 95 Ford Explorer, which is a super boring looking car anyway, and there's just nothing happening.
Well, and we'll find out starting, like, next movie where he starts having some budgets and starts having some, you know, some big names start showing up and there's stuff going on.
And he's not focused on Ben Affleck's teeth.
Yeah. Well, by next movie, he's going to have new teeth.
Yeah. In this one, he's got his old teeth. And these 3 minutes, you know, it's like you're just expecting to see, like, some celery in there or something.
You know what sucks about the minute by minute? As we're podcasting, I play the minute in the background, but I have to mute it because I can't listen to that and listen to you guys talk. And, God, it just goes over and over again. Like, I can't stand this minute anymore.
Well, it's a minute where
she's turning her head back and forth.
Yeah, there's just not much happening. Again, if you watch the movie at regular speed, this is 3 minutes.
Right.
Which is, in a movie that's 90-some minutes long, is a good chunk of time. But I understand he's got to get the love declaration out, but it's tough when you're doing it minute by minute. It's a whole minute of him, and he starts low and just digs and digs and digs.
It feels like he's never going to stop.
So if he goes on, if he speaks for about 2.5 minutes straight, I would say anything after about the first 30 seconds in any normal world, your relationship with that person is probably over.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Anytime you are with any person, doesn't matter, they stop the car in the middle of the rain where you can't get out, and then they just start to talk at you for a good 5-10 minutes, that relationship's over. You don't even care what they're talking about.
Yeah.
He's got her trapped. She has to listen, even if she doesn't want to. She's going to get out in the rain? Well, yeah, eventually when she gets sick of his face.
Yeah, that's how bad it gets.
Yeah.
And you're cheering for her there. Yeah, get out in the rain. Run away. Yeah,
but well, like, you're not like, oh, I wouldn't have got out of the rain. Every single person by next week's like, I would have got out of that car too.
Yep, yep.
I would have got out of that. I would have stepped out the door if they were on a fucking airplane at that point. All right, I got to move the minute because I got. I'm looking at his face and I can't look at it.
Yeah, and I just keep looking at her. I swear. Yeah,
he's just him saying, "I'll accept that." He's just, I want to punch him in his stupid face.
I think they're in different days. They shot her face and his.
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure they shot this the same day.
Really?
They probably shot all his coverage or all hers first.
They never back it up, so like you could see them both in the same shot together.
I mean, she's probably not sitting in the car because you need to have the camera there,
right?
But I felt like that would have been a better shot at some point from the front of the car, like those two through the windshield, so you could actually see them interact with each other rather than
just moving the camera anywhere at all.
Yeah.
Now, normally I would tease Kevin about that just because he is notorious for not moving the camera, but they had no money. So he may not have been, it might have been like, listen, I need you to do all this, and I only got one or two takes, so you better make it happen.
Yeah.
And there's no room in the car. It's not like they can remove the windshield or whatever. Scott Mosier has to drive that thing home. So he's got to sit in the passenger seat and shoot all of Holden's stuff.
Yeah, they can only make it rain for like an 8-foot spot. So.
Right.
Yeah, then he's got to get in the driver's seat and shoot all of Joey, Lauren, and Adam's stuff. So, yeah, I can't imagine they were in the same car together at all.
I mean, I'm doubting it. But like, sometimes when they do scenes like this, the person will still sit like next to him or behind the camera so they can do their off-camera lines.
Which doesn't even have off-camera lines.
Yeah, off-camera stares.
Yeah. Right. You don't even hear her breathing.
Maybe that's why he can't read the room. He never sees that face until it's on the big screen, and he's like, oh, I played that completely wrong.
Oh, hey, shit, whoa. She was mad at me.
She was pissed.
In his mind, it's all this like wonderful, like she's falling in love with him as he's saying all this stuff. And then he sees the movie a year later. Oh, yeah. She was really angry there.
Like, oh, yeah. Kevin shot that a little different than I thought. All right. Well, we have a whole other minute of staring at Ben Affleck's big head. So does anybody have anything for this minute? For the big finish?
Just move on.
Go ahead and plug your podcast. Why don't you?
All right. Well, my name is Michael Cotton. I'm from the Sunranto podcast. It's an irreverent look at the Chicago Cubs, who we love and hate at all times. If you're looking for like a big stats heavy podcast, that is not us. It is just guys complaining about everything the Cubs are doing.
Hey, you fit right in here.
Yeah, that's all we do is complain. The only difference is we don't. Yeah, Chris doesn't know anything about sports, so we don't complain about that. Just me. Eventually, sometimes I go off on a rant on the Philly teams, but that's just if they're pissing me off at that point.
Or if we have a guest that wants to talk sports, I'll go take a nap while I'm.
I've noticed that. You just disappear.
I just go away. Actually, you know what I usually do? I'll kill like 3 beers while they're talking about sports. And then I come back and I got a lot of stuff to say. And well, we are the Jay and Silent Bob Minute Podcast.
You sure about that?
I tried to get it out there. We're on duelinggenre.com. You can come to our Facebook page. It's the Jay and Silent Bob Quicker Stop and yell at us. We like that. You can go to moviesbyminutes.com. There's about 1,000 movie by minutes there, I swear. And pay special attention to the Star Wars Minute. They started all this. You got anything else, Jeff?
Nope. Variety is the spice of life. I don't have it open. Chris, are you fucking recording? Yeah,
good. Am recording.
I just assume you'll fuck it up.
It's a pretty good assumption.
Speaking of which, you ever going to edit anything since, like...
Hey, fuck you. Go look in there. I'll put next week's in there already, too. So you go fuck yourself.